on. Father God, I pray that their ears will indeed be open to hear your word and their hearts open to receive. May they be hungry for you, hungry for you, hungry for you, not looking to a man or a woman, but hungry for you. Hallelujah. And when we are hungry for you, Father, you will feed us. Hallelujah. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for your presence here today, and we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Now, Sunday before last was Father's Day, and of course I brought you a Father's Day message, and of course last Sunday Kathy and I was out of town for a while, and we got back late, and you know, I appreciate Minister Tony bringing you the Word of God last Sunday. Praise God. Amen. So I didn't quite finish where I was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess it'd be now. So I want to jump back in, because I think it's some things that are very important that we need to grab a hold of. Amen? And so once again, my title, my subject is Our Position in Christ. And so if you want to go back, if you go back online and hear the first two messages, then you can do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that we're chosen. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
"Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We have a position in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we understand then that we are priests. Verse 9 tells us, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." We are priests unto God. And I've gone into a good bit on that. I don't want to try to go back over all of it. But I think I stopped here the last time, stopped to tell you that one of our priestly duties is to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. And we've been singing songs about praising God, lifting him up. We're told to sing to the Lord psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You ever ask yourself, why am I here? What's my purpose? I want to help you with that a little bit today. Listen to me real, real good. Part of your purpose, and that includes me, part of your purpose is to bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes, Pastor, but you know I'm kind of reserved. The Word of God tells us we are to bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, I know we all have different personalities, and we may praise God a little different. You know, some folks may be more outgoing than others, but we are all called to bless His name. There are no exemptions there. Hallelujah. That's part of our priestly duty, is to bless the name of the Lord. All righty. Now, having said that, turn in your Bibles to the 34th Psalm. 34th Psalm. Hallelujah. 34th Psalm. And this, written by David under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this is what he says. And this is written for you, and it is written for me. Amen. I will bless the Lord sometime. Say what?
Oh.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Listen to this. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Instead of some of that other foolishness that comes out of our mouths, we need to be blessing the Lord. Amen. We need to bless the Lord. Let me read verse 1 again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, everybody say, oh.
Oh.
Come on, say it again.
Oh.
One more time.
Oh.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. In other words, David's saying, join in with me in magnifying the Lord. You can't praise Him for me. You can praise Him for you. But I have to praise Him for me. I have to magnify Him for me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we come together like we are now, we are to bless the Lord. You've heard me say it many, many times, and I'll probably continue to say it. When we have our praise and worship portion of our service, that's not an entertainment time. That's a time to worship God. That's a time to magnify God. That's a time to acknowledge the presence of the Lord. That's the time to recognize openly how we appreciate all that He has done and is doing for us. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. All righty. Now, let's go to another psalm. Turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourselves with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. See, you know, we just need sometime when we assemble like we are now, but also when you're by yourself, maybe sometime possibly you'll walk, be walking out at night and you look up and you see the stars. Then you begin to just magnify God for all that he's done. He's the one that hung the stars out there. Glory, nobody did it but him. He's the one that hung the stars. He's the one that hung the moon. He's the one that hung the sun. And we need to acknowledge his greatness. Glory be to God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we love to complain, don't we? We just want to complain about this and complain about that, and this ain't right and that ain't right, and you know. But you know what? There's so much to praise him for. We never have to complain. Even when things are not going so well, we can bless the Lord. That's part of our priestly duty, to bless the Lord our God. Now, I encourage you later on, read the whole 104th Psalm. Let's back up to Psalm 103. Look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And listen to this. Why you're blessing him? Why you're praising him? We're instructed and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. That's what we were just singing about earlier. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals. Finish that. Say it again. Who heals what? Who heals all your diseases. Look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who redeemed your life from destruction? Well, let me tell you something. Maybe you made a mess of your life, but we have a redeemer. I know a redeemer who, if we will allow him, will step back in and help get us back on the right path. Glory to God. Let's not wallow in the mess we made. Let's look to the redeemer. Our deliverer. Because the Bible tells us very plainly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have. All of us have. But we have a redeemer. Someone who loves us. Someone who's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for us. Glory be to God. Oh, we need to praise Him. That's part of our priestly duty. Verse 4 again, Psalm 103. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with what? Love and kindness and what? What?
Tender mercies.
Tender mercies. The devil reminds you of how bad you used to be. But God forgives us and forgets about it. If you're feeling bad about the way you used to live, it ain't God. It's the devil. Hallelujah. Let me read one more, then we'll move on. Verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with
good.
Say that again.
Good.
Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Why? Oh, glory to God. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, some people don't believe it when you tell them that the Bible tells us not to worry. In the King James Version, it says, be careful for nothing, but it actually means don't worry or don't be anxious for anything. But he tells us what to do. In the midst of whatever it may be, we're told, don't get anxious, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. Talk to God. Begin to worship the Lord. You know, when you've gone as far as you feel like you can go, begin to worship. Begin to worship. That's how Paul and Silas got delivered from the jail, the inner prison. In the middle of it all, them boys decided we're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. We may be in prison, but God's not. He's still God. Hallelujah. Remember Jehoshaphat? When he was in a fix, he didn't have enough men of his own to win the battle. So what did he do? He put the praisers out front. He didn't send negotiators. He didn't say, let's make a deal. He sent the praisers out front. And they began to praise the Lord, and guess what? It confused the enemy. When the enemy gets confused, they turn on themselves. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Praise is powerful. Praise is powerful. And I'm talking about pure praise and worship, privately and publicly. Not looking for entertainment, but looking to come into the presence of the Lord and give Him the praise and worship that's due to Him. That's our priestly duty. Glory be to God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I won't go back into this today, but I think I told you the last time we were together that part of our priestly duties is to pray for one another, intercede for one another. And we went over some scriptures where Paul, the Apostle Paul, interceded for the church. And we should be praying for one another. Amen. 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 Listen to me. Let me say that again before we move on. Brothers and sisters, pray for one another. Amen. God told us to do that. That's part of our priestly duties, to go before God on behalf of someone else. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, bless the Lord. As kings and priests, we are to operate in this life by faith, by power, and by authority given to us by God. Hallelujah. You know, there's some things that we want God to do, and God's telling us to take care of it. Amen. Because too many believers do not know or understand their position in Christ Jesus. Now, in the book of Matthew, let's go there. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, I believe it is. Hallelujah. I want to read you a little story here. I'll just begin at verse 22. It says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the son of David?' Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges.'" But listen to what he said. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Let me tell you something. Listen to me. As kings and priests of God, we have been given the authority by Jesus Christ to go into the strong man's house and plunder his goods. Did you hear what I just said? We have God-given authority. All righty. Amen. Now, having read that, let's flip on over to the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. All right. I told you 10th chapter, right? All right, let's begin reading at verse 17. Then, you remember Jesus sent the 70 out, right? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Notice what they said, in your name. That means then that the demons were not going to listen to them in any other name but the name of Jesus. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Look at verse 19 now. Behold, I give you what? Amen. Power in the King James, power or authority. Okay? I give you the power or the authority to do what? Trample on serpents and scorpions and over what? Some of the power of the enemy? Say what? And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, glory be to God. And then he went on to say, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. If we are going to do God's work, then we must have his power and his authority working in us and through us. All right, let's move on quickly. I want to finish this today. Go to Acts chapter 1, first chapter of Acts. First chapter of Acts. I'll begin reading at verse 7. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, now this is the resurrected Christ. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you see that? Y'all listening to me? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, we know on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, didn't he? Yes. Hallelujah. And he's been here ever since. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Let's walk in that power that God has given us. Excuse me. Let's walk in that power that he has given us. Because, now remember, we're priests unto God. We're kings and priests unto God. Now, as I get ready to close this in just a few minutes, I want to give you some more information. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to remember this. This applies to us too. The Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, and that church had some issues. But in verse 4, listen to what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, what he was saying, we don't have natural weapons. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And verse 6 says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We got to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not natural. We can fall on our knees and cause things to change. You hear me? We can fall on our knees and take authority over situations and circumstances. Amen. When you have a pain in your body, if a pain try to sneak its way into your body, you ought to immediately say, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I take authority over that in Jesus' name, because by his stripes I have been healed. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I am the priest of the most high God. Amen. And we are left on the earth to do the work of the ministry. Let me say that again. We have been left on this earth to do the work of the ministry. We have been placed on this earth to keep the devil in check. I hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. I want to give you one more reference, and then I'm done. Go to the book of Matthew, <clears throat> 28th chapter. Musicians, y'all can come on up. I'm fixing to close it out. Once again, as kings and as priests unto God, God's given us authority here in the earth. All right? Matthew chapter 28, I'll begin reading at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all righty? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority or power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Oh, right. You know, we could take a praise break right there. Let me read that again. I'm reading this for me. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, they got some satellite telescopes and what's the name of the last one they sent up? It's supposed to go into deep space. Something James. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? But that thing's way out there. Then there's another one, the Hubble telescope. I think it's been out there longer than this guy. But here's my point. It doesn't matter how deep in the space it gets. Jesus is still Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus is still Lord. He has been given all power, all authority in heaven. And they say they're seeing things, many, 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 many light years away, which is a long ways. But I want you to know, it doesn't matter how deep it gets, Jesus still has authority.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, let me read it again. I'm closing out. Jesus says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he said, go. Then he said, go. Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations. God's given us the authority. Jesus gave us the authority to do that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Now, this same Jesus that says all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth is now saying, I go with you. I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. The same Jesus that spoke these powerful words has given you and me authority to go and represent him. That's our priestly duty. To go and represent him. That's the reason we are called Christians or Christians. Because we're like Christ. And we have his spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And he has given us authority. And we have the authority wherever Satan resists, we have the authority to change some things. Amen.
Amen.
And we must not stop. Sometimes it takes some extra praying. It may take some fasting, whatever it takes. But we can get this job done because Jesus said, the word of God says, I'll never leave you. That's what God said. I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Therefore, when you need me, there I am with you to help you, because I know you cannot do it by yourself. You need a helper. That's the reason I sent you the Holy Ghost. That's the reason I sent you the Holy Ghost. That's the reason I sent you the Holy Ghost. He is your helper. Hallelujah. The next time you pray for someone, lay your hands upon someone, you lay your hands on them in faith, knowing that God is with you. Glory to God. Knowing that He's right there with you. And as long as you pray it in line with the Word of God, something's going to happen. Amen. We don't always see things change immediately, but things change. You're going to find out, glory to God. I know some of you are prayer warriors, and I thank God for you. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to be amazed at some things that changed, or some people's lives that were changed, because we didn't quit. We continued to pray. Outwardly, didn't look like anything changed. It blesses me. Every now and then it happens. I'll meet someone that I don't even know, or maybe they grew up and I don't recognize them anymore, because people change as they age, you know, hairstyles, clothes styles, y'all know the story. But it blesses me from time to time. They'll come up to me and said, you know what, you changed my life by some things you said, or you prayed for me and this happened, and you know, and I wasn't even aware of it. But guess what? When we get to heaven, we're going to see much more of that. Glory to God. We are priests. We are kings unto our God. So let's go do the work of the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't have to be in the fivefold ministry to do the work of the ministry, because us ministers can't be everywhere. Hallelujah. You can go places we can't go. You meet people we don't meet. But you can change their lives. And that's what I want to get over to you, brothers and sisters, here at Word of Life. Make up your mind. I'm going to be a life changer. But remember this. If you're going to change the lives of others, you got to make sure your life is changed. Because the devil knows when you're pretending. He knows. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Trying to cast the devil out. God says, come out, devil, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches about. Some devils looked at him and said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know. Oh, what a put down. But who are you? Oh, what a put down. We know who Jesus is. We know who Paul is. We don't know you. And it wasn't pleasant for them guys after that. Ran out of the place naked. It's bad when you get humiliated by the devil, but when you know Jesus, that's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before I close, I want to speak to those that are watching the live stream. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I've got good news for you. He loves you. He loves you so much.